Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Joining us here as we kick off the third hour of the show. The phones are open, of course, at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Mark here tonight. I'm here in Keene, New Hampshire. Mark's down in Guatemala. And we'll take your calls and thoughts about what you want. We were talking about working as a child. "Quote unquote child labor." There's a woman who's being targeted in Alabama for daring to allow young people from the age of 6 to 10 to apply to work at a lemonade stand, basically to learn some of the basics of being an entrepreneur and a good worker. And the Department of Labor came in and told her, "Well, we might just hurt you if you do that. And so you probably shouldn't do that." So she decided not to. We'll get into the rest of the story because she is still going to do something. And we'll explain what she came up with here in a little bit. But Conejo is on the line here in FEMA Region 13. And Conejo, you had brought up a fairly, I would say, depressing conversation that happened on Free Talk Live last week during the Porcupine Freedom Festival with Aria, who is a host of this show that is currently in federal prison on an 18-month sentence for the dastardly so-called crime of selling Bitcoin without government permission. And so she is understandably black-pilled when it comes to cryptocurrency and its future in the United States. And, of course, she cites not only what has happened to her and the rest of the Crypto Six and other people who have sold Bitcoin and have gone and faced criminal penalties for that. She also, of course, cites the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and their attack against various different cryptocurrency exchanges in civil court, like or Coinbase and Binance and Bittrex, and the list goes on. They're, of course, going after crypto projects like Library and Ripple and on and on and on. And then, of course, the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, with a lawsuit right now against Binance. So it definitely seems like it's a full court press against cryptocurrency in the United States. I can understand why somebody in her position would be so bummed about this, especially as she's poured years of her life into seeing these things move forward, only to be shot down, punished, have her Bitcoin stolen from her, and then thrown in jail for prison for 18 months. So I get it. But Conejo, it sounds like you are pretty optimistic.
Yeah. Besides that decentralized exchange where you can run it on your own computer, phone, and just hook up with local people to meet to exchange cash, gold, silver, goldbacks, or check.
Is this the Hovino Dex thing that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. It's going to be a decentralized protocol version of the local Monero.co.
Oh, that's website, awesome.
Which was basically a clone of the local Bitcoin website that closed down.
Now, is the local Monero owners involved in Hovino Dex, or is it just somebody else that's putting this one together?
No, the local Monero people are located, I think, in Scandinavia somewhere. But the Hovino thing is done in the U.S. by developers worldwide, but kind of spearheaded by the developers of one of the more popular wallets.
So you're saying they're doing this, some of them are based in the U.S., they should get out. If they have the potential to get out of the United States, they should go ahead and grab their crypto and get the hell out, because it is definitely a very, very scary time to be in the crypto industry inside the United States. Very dangerous. Especially to be focusing on a privacy coin, because you're saying Hovino Dex is going to be selling Monero, correct?
Correct, yeah. And it is open source. It's a FLOSS, free Libre open source software. So it's being developed by anonymous developers around the world.
Okay.
I just know that one of the people kind of spearheading some of the efforts, I don't know if he's U.S.-based, but he might be, But besides that, there's also a there are people working on a Goldbacks Monero ATM.
Yeah.
So basically just cutting fiat completely.
Where are they based out of?
Transmitting. That was announced on the Monerotopia podcast, and it sounds like someone based in Alaska is
nice.
Kind of putting a team
I know
together.
Somebody here in New Hampshire has been working on a gold-back vending machine that I think would take cash, but I think your point's really interesting to where there would be no dollars involved. It would be people putting goldbacks into a machine and like essentially a crypto vending machine and getting Monero vended out into their wallet. Is that what the proposal is?
Yeah, so then there's no money transmission.
Wow. Well, at least that's your interpretation, yeah. Conejo. I don't know if the federal government would interpret that the same way, because ultimately they are, they're trying to take me down for so-called money transmission with regards to not the dollars, but what happened to the Bitcoin. So they're trying to allege that simply sending Bitcoin to somebody is so-called money transmission.
Well, the great thing about gold, precious metals, and Monero is they're fungible, mm-hmm. which means you can't. There's no transaction history attached to them. You can't see who sent it, who received it,
that's
amount,
good point.
The home IP address. So it's not like a public ledger surveillance coin like Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, that won't stop them from sending an undercover IRS agent in and having him pump some gold backs into the machine to deliver Monero into a government-controlled wallet. And then he goes over to the store owner and tells him he's a heroin dealer and then walks back in to buy some more Monero from the machine, and if the store owner doesn't tackle him and physically prevent him from making the purchase, they're going to call that money laundering, and then he'll face up to 20 years in prison.
Well, the good thing is the more resistance you add on their overhead, their return on violence, the less they can enforce. Kind of like how marijuana is federally illegal, but there's stores that were popping up on Main Street and the ATF. Or excuse me, the Drug Enforcement Agency, their 6,000 agents couldn't play whack-a-mole fast enough to close them all down. Now half the U.S. states are telling the federal government to go pound sand.
Yeah, I think that is one of the reasons why I think crypto ultimately will be successful down the line, is that it is something that they really ultimately, at the end of the day, cannot control no matter how hard that they try. They are certainly trying to intimidate people into being afraid to use it, being afraid to run businesses surrounding it, and they may have some level of success with that. Like, I wouldn't blame anyone who says to themselves, you know what, I was going to start selling on local Monero or Havino Dex or whatever, but no. Now I'm not going to do that, and because they are afraid of what the potential penalties might be. But you are correct, Conejo. The more people that jump in, the more people that offer cryptocurrency for sale in various different places across the U.S., the more difficult it will be to take everybody down. But that said, it is risky, and I think people should know what the risks are before they get into that. Highly
and it's
risky.
Worth pointing out that people that the risk doesn't exist elsewhere. There are myriad places on planet Earth where you can create a Monero ATM, and it is not some kind of jailable offense. I'm not prepared to say that crypto died in 2023, nor am I prepared to say that the United States is the best place to be if you're looking for the next step, the next evolution in currency. In fact, I would go so far as to say that Rome was the best place when whatever the currency that was going to replace the, the Roman currency was coming around. I wish I knew what the Roman currency was, Lyra. whatever that was, the dying beast is always the one that thrashes the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been given the advice for some time, get out of America.
Yeah, if you are a crypto person, I think that's sound advice is, to get out of the United States. Now, what are the most friendly areas on the planet to crypto? That would be an interesting question.
Honduras has no laws.
Well, neither does the United States. The question is, are they friendly? Are they enforcing? Are they cracking down? The U.S. has no laws about cryptocurrency, but yet they are putting people in prison.
They do have laws. The system that was created in the 1880s.
That is not regarding cryptocurrency. If it was created,
those are effectively laws. They're effectively laws.
Okay? They are not regarding cryptocurrency.
The government says that some bizarre old law applies, if a government agency says that some bizarre old law applies to cryptocurrency, it does,
okay,
until proven otherwise.
And I guarantee you Honduras has money transmission laws.
They may very well tell you that there's ATMs all over Honduras, and I haven't heard one.
There's ATMs all over the United States too. It just depends on, in fact, there's thousands of them. It just all depends on who they want to enforce against.
Agreed.
Right.
And that's why you should leave the United States, because dozens of people have been thrown in prison for dubious violations of dubious laws.
No doubt. No doubt. But the question is, where on the earth, just because they don't enforce it in Honduras doesn't mean they're
friendly.
Look
at Red China. How many people have they thrown in prison for Bitcoin violations?
I've not heard of anything like that.
I haven't heard any other country on the planet.
I've heard that Hong Kong is actually welcoming Bitcoin businesses over there. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for places not where nothing is happening, but where it's actually being acknowledged as, we want you to come here. We think that this is exciting developments, like St. Kitts or Nevis. I'm not asking you to have the answers. I'm just saying aloud, I don't know which ones are the best. I would like to hear about that. I know that in St. Kitts and Nevis, there's a lot of Bitcoin Cash activism going on. There's been a lot of businesses that have been switched over or that have begun accepting Bitcoin Cash. Now, I think it deserves a follow-up to see if they're still accepting Bitcoin Cash, to see if, you know, it's been a year or whatever, and see if they're still taking it and if they actually have customers that are using it. But from what it was, the way they made it sound was that there is actually a good amount of people who are not only getting paid in Bitcoin Cash there, but are also utilizing it at points of sale. Conejo, have you heard anything about...
Hold on. My business partner, Alex, would be upset if I didn't mention that in Morazan.city, that's the website, Morazan.city, they are currently, at this moment, accepting for rent a e-cash variant that was created with the intention of sort of creating a coin for the entire country. And, you know, so you can pay your rent, you can pay your power bill, you can do all variety of things. You can currently live entirely on this. This isn't where you can go to one store and spend. This is a place where you can buy everything.
That's pretty cool.
Except for, like, vegetables.
Nevis and St. Kitts, it's literally there are grocery stores that are taking Bitcoin Cash. So you can go around to bars and restaurants and grocery stores. I think Burger King's taking it. There's literally a ton of places. I think more than the last time I looked, it was over 150 on the island of St. Kitts that was accepting it. And so I've yet to hear of a place that has better business acceptance than that particular area, especially if you break it down.
I've got 100% of businesses in Morazan.city.
Raw numbers, okay, but there's almost no one that lives there. But raw numbers, St. Kitts and Nevis, I believe, has more than in pretty much any other city. And of course, if you break it down per capita, I mean, they're just going to blow everybody else out of the water. But Conejo, have you heard of anything about friendlier jurisdictions to, say, Monero and other cryptocurrencies?
No, besides it being fairly popular in New Hampshire, I think it's slightly popular in Argentina, probably not one of the top coins traded, but I think St. Kitts and Nevis, they've got Bitcoin Cash.
Mm-hmm.
El Salvador has Bitcoin with custodial wallets, by fiat, ironically enough.
I wish I could. I can't use cryptocurrency under my bail conditions, and it's a shame because I know the guys over at AnyPay, which is the... for a long time was a sponsor here on Free Talk Live, and they do really great point-of-sale system that is a multi-crypto point-of-sale system. It's my understanding they've added Monero to AnyPay. Now, what I was told was that it was only for the online AnyPay and that it wasn't working in the point-of-sale system for, like, the physical mom-and-pop brick-and-mortar businesses. But I've since heard that that may actually be working, so it would be really cool if somebody has tested that for the point of sale, because that would be the first ever, to my knowledge, point of sale Monero acceptance system that has ever existed.
There's a couple that have been developed you can find on GitHub. I don't remember exactly what they're called at the moment.
Does If it's on GitHub, do you have to, like, compile the program yourself and know how to program to kind of, like, get that stuff done?
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, usually stuff on GitHub is just code, and then you have to, you know, make sure it can run and all that. I'm talking about something that is plug and play. You install the app, you put your Monero address in there, and then, you know, it's there. You can just start punching in numbers and then come up with the QR code and have somebody pay with their Monero wallet. I wish we were still in, unfortunately, I'm not in touch directly with the AnyPay guys right now, and I really wish I knew what was going on, but that's just what I've heard.
Actually, I think there is one. There's someone on Twitter called Crypto Grampy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Crypto Grandpa, Crypto Grampy. I think he developed a point of sale system.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
And a couple other people have developed some like subscription stuff. But
yeah, I think in the long run, the government is going to lose this one. The U.S. government, they're going to crack down. The cryptocurrency will continue, whether it's just going to be in the underground or whatever, depending on how these crackdowns go, how intense they get, still remains to be seen. But I think long term, I'm pretty optimistic. Worldwide, I'm optimistic. I mean, even if the U.S. turns into a complete crypto graveyard in the next decade and never.
It would be sad.
It would be absolutely really terrible.
Really sad.
That seems to be what they want to have happen.
Certainly what the Democrats seem to want.
Oh, I mean, these crackdowns were going on under Trump, so it's not like this wasn't
happening.
I don't
feel like they were going on nearly as hard under Trump as they were under the
Well, they didn't understand the Democrats.
Well, you know what? I'm willing to be wrong here, Ian. I'm just saying that I've seen what this crap is like under the Democrats,
sure.
And I know what they're going to deliver. I do not know what the Republicans are going to deliver for sure.
Yeah, well, we might find out here in the next year and a half. Hey, thanks, Conejo, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. And you'll be sure to let us know when this Avino Dex thing starts up so people can give that a shot.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, very, very interested in hearing about all manner of decentralized exchanges that are going out there because these centralized exchanges are terrible. They are beholden to governments. They're being sued by governments. In the case of Binance, the SEC actually attempted to get Binance to freeze its assets. Now, I don't believe they were granted this. The court, I don't think, actually granted the freeze request by the SEC. So if you still have assets, crypto assets on Binance, get them off of that exchange as quickly as possible. In fact, if you have crypto assets on any exchange, you should get them off the exchange and you should self-custody those cryptocurrencies because if it's not your coins, you know, if it's not your keys, it's not your coins. Meaning that if somebody else, in this case a cryptocurrency exchange, has control over your coins, if they get frozen by the government, then you will be lucky to see pennies on the dollar as far as the original value in your account down the line.
I've read that I think it was like 85% or something is the suggestion of active coins are currently being held on exchanges. People are not listening to this advice, and I don't have the qualifications in my mind to be able to spit it out. I just read it someplace, but basically, if you don't have it in cold storage, mm-hmm. and you it is not lost, you know, and you're not just hodling, that those people, 85% of them have it on an exchange someplace.
Bad plan. That's
very bad plan.
Planning to fail in that case. Let's talk to Major Payne in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you were talking about that old girl that's getting harassed for a lemonade stand. And
yeah.
Her 8-year-old entrepreneurship. Well,
that's
it got
right.
me to thinking about people selling vegetables and flowers and whatnot on the side of the road. Because back in the day, I used to have a big truck garden, and I'd sell vegetables.
Hmm.
And Martin probably attested this because he's raised kids, or at least one. One day, me and my son, he's about 8 years old, we're out in the garden. And I don't remember if we were picking or weeding or what. But there was a big old fat toad hopping around. And I says, well, hello, Mr. Toad. Good to see you. And so later on at the dinner table, Patrick asked me, he says, well, were you so happy with that toad? I says, well, they eat the bugs that eat our vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, where do they live? I says, well, usually under rocks and logs and such. They want a place to get out of the sun. So the next morning I go out there at 6:30 in the morning, and he's collecting rocks and building little rock houses for toads out in the garden.
Cute.
We used to do the same thing. We showed Jack how you could build a little house for a toad with a cracked flower pot, and he built little toad houses, and we rewarded him in some fashion.
Yeah.
Did the toads use it? Did you ever see a toad come out of there?
Yeah, they absolutely do use it. Because it's right there next to their food source, which is to say the insects like these delicious plants that we grow, as opposed to the ordinary plants that are out in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And the toads are like, well, we'd like to hang out right here where the food source is. And so if you give them a little place to hang out, rather than having everything sort of perfect and clean, you have these little spots for them, then they'll hang out there.
Sweet.
Yeah, you just put the toad in the grocery store is what you did.
Nice. All right. Anything else you want to share, Major?
Well, years ago, because we were talking about selling stuff at the end of the road and getting in trouble for it, years ago, I did auto tech in college when I was just a pup. So I used to, if I had a few $100 scraped together and saw something that was worthwhile but broke, I'd drag it home and fix it, right? Well, I about got in trouble because if you flip more than 3 vehicles in your name in 1 year, you gotta have a deal.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So luckily, I got a prize to this before I had flipped my 3rd vehicle 1 year. And what I'd do is I'd just leave it in the name, the title name of whoever I bought it off of, and fix it and put it out, and then flip it, and my name never got involved in the title.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a little trick, and just another reason why these rules are sort of stupid. Obviously, it's obvious that some dealer had an in here, like, oh, they're going to have to get a dealer's license. Just your average mechanic can't do this, and it's just one more way that, the protection racket for the people who got the license.
That's exactly what it is. Major, thanks for the story tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Skeeter is in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hey, I hear you guys talking about truck labor and the easy case of a blade stand. And it got me thinking about self-ownership and child protection. And keep in mind, before you get too defensive, I'm not here to defend government child intervention. I just wanted to understand these topics in terms of libertarian principles, even though I've already gotten you guys to admit that it's okay to violate these principles sometimes. So what if a parent wants to induce like hard labor or a long hour like work day, a coal mine, or even something extreme like child prostitution?
Hang on. The number here is 603-283-6160. What if a parent wants to have their kid work at quote-unquote hard labor in a coal mine? We can come back and talk about that here in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. You can, of course, bring up whatever is on your mind here on Free Talk Live. Join us online where we've got our own social media server at social.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Democrats in Congress are demanding change in light of Thursday's Supreme Court ruling outlawing race-based admissions at the nation's colleges and universities. Congressman Joaquin Castro of Texas says affirmative action has given opportunities to underserved communities.
And today's Supreme Court decision ensures that our colleges and universities will look less like real-life America than they should.
He says if colleges cannot use race, then they should also be blind when it comes to legacy. Transgender transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney says she's angry at Bud Light for not defending her against transphobic customers.
Mulvaney said ever since she posted a video promoting Bud Light, she's received a large wave of hate and transphobia. Mulvaney said she's been patiently waiting for the company to reach out, but they never did. I'm Brian Shook.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
The number 603-283-6160. We're talking about a mom who was trying to help some neighborhood kids learn entrepreneurialism and good work ethic. And now she was threatened in Alabama by the so-called Department of Labor. I want to get back into that story. But it resulted in a phone call from Skeeter, who's asking a bit of a tougher question about, well, what about kids working in a coal mine? Of course, we talked earlier about, you know, the factory where kids get their arms ripped off or whatever. So we're going to get into that here in a moment, but also let you know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. If you've ever tried to actually spend Bitcoin in recent days or recent years, you know that the Bitcoin fees are out of control. In many cases, it can be recently as high as a dollar or two just to send a Bitcoin transaction. It doesn't matter the amount of the Bitcoin transaction. So if you're trying to, you know, buy a $2 cup of coffee, it may cost you an extra $2 on top just to send Bitcoin. And that is not useful. That is not a real currency. And it is just, you know, it's a joke to actually use Bitcoin. By comparison, Dash has fees of less than 1 cent per transaction. And they've implemented some really cool features to ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by Dash's Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering your Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptos out there. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And by the way, big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. We're back with Skeeter in California. You were asking a question. We had to run into that news break there. So if you could just re-ask it, I'd appreciate it.
In terms of like self-ownership, as far as our children are concerned, in the libertarian work of principles, you know, principles like what if the parents want to induce like hard 18-hour work day, like picking grapes, like Mark said, or even prostitution.
Okay. Your cell phone's kind of breaking up a little bit there, Mark. Did you want to...
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I'll jump in on this. So I guess the question is if you libertarians were in charge, what would happen with child labor? Isn't this exploitation or something, something like that? You know, and it's a great question, and thank you for asking it, Skeeter. I do appreciate that. I think we have the answer already. Currently, to my knowledge, it is completely legal for you to employ a child of any age picking fruit in the United States. Now, this is, by all standards,
that's hard labor.
Yeah, that's hard, sure. Hard labor. So hard, in fact, that Georgia, about 10 years ago, outlawed, you know, did its best to outlaw migrant work, people who were, you know, illegal by some standard or another, and were going to employ convicts to do that same labor. The convicts revolted and said, take me back to prison before I do this job. So picking fruit, hard labor, but we have kids doing it currently. So we know the amount of people that will do it, at least approximately, in so much as people who are poor and in close proximity to farms will probably bring their kids out with them to show them how to do this and expect them to do a certain amount. It is unlikely that they expect the same amount of labor from, you know, the 6-year-old as they do from dad, but they probably do expect some amount of labor. And so far, Western civilization hasn't cracked in half.
Yeah, I tend to.
And I mean, you know, like if it was legal to have kids in mines, because the mines are completely unionized and there's no way that that would ever happen. Mm-hmm. The union jobs hate child labor because they throw
cheap.
The curve off. Right. but we know how it would work. It is if people were sufficiently poor and sufficiently close to a mine, some of those kids would go in there and work and have those jobs. Now, what happens to them otherwise? Well, I don't know. They go, they go get into the school to prison pipeline in their local community and end up in the joint instead. You know, I mean, society doesn't have a lot of good options for poor kids. You kind of have to make a decision early on or have your parents make a decision early on. Does that answer your question, Skeeter?
Well, I wanted to weigh in on it as well, because I agree, and I think that when it comes to jobs that are particularly offensive, he mentioned child prostitution there in his question as well, I think that most people wouldn't stand for that. You know, if that was going on in a community, there would be people who would come in there and they would literally kidnap those children away, and then if the parents were mad about having their kids kidnapped from them, they would likely find zero support in the community on
the
side, right?
I mean, let's be serious.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to walk in there there's going to be three guys walk in with automatic weapons. They're going to put everybody on the frickin' wall. They're going to take the kids out of there. They're going to shoot all the people. That's how it's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, it might be baseball bats. You know, you never know what the weapon's going to be. But something, the community isn't going to stand for it. And that could end up being the case with certain types of hard labor as well. You know, if the people in the community don't think it's an okay thing to have the kids down in the coal mine, you may have a rescue squad that comes in and takes those kids out of there. And how that all ends up shaking out, I think, is up to the market to decide. Thanks for the call tonight. So I wanted to get back into the story here about the woman whose son, he's 8 years old. They started their own lemonade company after his lemonade stand really kind of took off. And she wanted to help some of the neighborhood kids and the kids in the area learn how, through an apprenticeship, how to sell some lemonade and be the smiler or the greeter at the lemonade stand and pay them $20 for a 2-hour shift. the Department of Labor came in and said, you can't do that. So she decided to not do that, sadly. But that's not where the story ends. According to the Washington Post, she said the inspector told her that selling lemonade during the event would mean her business could profit from a child working, even if the children were mainly going to be greeting people and learning about customer service. So she agreed to call it off. She said, my heart was in the right place about this. In just 1 year, Cameron, her son's self-esteem and confidence have grown enormously, said his mom, Ms. Johnson. He is the face of the company, and helping his mom calculate the change that he has to return to customers has turned him into a bit of a math whiz. Yet her greatest pride is spending quality time with her son, quote, teaching him what's right and making it look fun at the same time, she said. Cameron's favorite part about helping run the lemonade business is talking to people about it, he said, according to Cameron. A full-time respiratory therapist working the night shift, Johnson said she'd never imagined running what is now a one-person operation, squeezing lemons, bottling juice, packing hundreds of bottles into coolers, and transporting them to markets and events across Alabama. It was the product of serendipity, and more specifically of her son, asking if they could visit Disney World. She said, hey, let's get you out here so you can see that money doesn't just grow on trees. She said at the time, in her mother's driveway, Johnson propped up a stand she'd crafted out of four wooden crates that she painted blue, decorating it with flowers and lemons. Cameron, then seven at the time, helped serve lemonade and raised a sign advertising the drink for $2 a cup. At that time, lemonade came out of a bottle that Johnson bought in the supermarket, but everything changed once a local reporter arrived and Johnson had run out of lemonade on hand. She said, I literally went into the house and whipped up some lemonade, came back out, gave her the homemade stuff, and she said, man, it's the best lemonade I've ever had. And that's when I realized I should be selling this recipe. The recipe for the pink lemonade is a secret she won't reveal, but she said it quickly became a sellout. The inventory would run out.
I bet there's lemons and sugar and water.
I hope so. our caller earlier was suggesting it must be artificially sweetened, and I don't know about that. I mean, when I think of lemonade, I think the old style, like you're describing. Anyway, the inventory would run out within 30 minutes whenever she advertised on social media that she'd made a batch, and nowadays her lemonade, since expanded to 10 flavors, can be found in local restaurants and small grocery stores, and next month the drink will hit store shelves in the Piggly Wiggly supermarkets. Yes. That's big. That's the big time.
Big time.
The Piggly Wiggly. Across Alabama's Jefferson and Walker counties, she said she's got bigger plans for the business and hoping to sell her products in Walmart and Target, get a food truck, and gain a business sponsor or mentor along the way. She's also planning to take Cameron to Disney World by the end of the year. But before that, Johnson is intent on making sure other children have a chance to learn about business. Though the apprenticeship was canceled due to the government threats, as we discussed earlier, she said she's still looking to organize an event where lemonade will not be sold. She says it'll be like a kid job fair or a workshop. I'm going to teach them the same skills that I was going to try to teach them, but I'm not going to profit from selling lemonade. So that's where the problem comes in. You can't possibly make any money involving kids in business. But you can have the kids sell the lemonade as long as there's no profit involved, apparently. That's totally fine. The kids can be out in the hot sun selling the lemonade just as long as no one goes home at the end of the day with any money in their pocket.
Right.
That's
work,
where the
work their butts right. off, just don't pay them.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely outrageous, but that's what, you know, that's the lesson the government is trying to teach these kids here, is that profit is bad, you shouldn't be in business for yourself, because we're going to ruin it for you. They're going to come in there with all their stupid rules and all their mandates, and they're going to make your business unprofitable if you try to do anything at all that's fun and that's rewarding and that helps helps the community and puts some money in your pocket at the same time, which is what a good business, you know, is. It's something that you enjoy doing, and it's something that helps people, you know, whether it be a service or a product, it fills a need that the customers have, and you can make money off of it. But they don't want these kids to learn that stuff. Though the Labor Department complaint was heartbreaking, Johnson said it did come with a silver lining, which was the flood of support from across the country and tons of inquiries about shipping lemonade. She says it's been incredible. It is literally taking lemons and turning them into lemonade. So I am glad to hear that aspect of the story, you know, that is not over for her business and her son, who I'm sure is going to be involved you know, all the way through this. I imagine he's going to be taking the reins of this when the time comes, when he's ready to be the CEO of his own lemonade company. And by that time, as you know, as we pointed out here, it's going into Piggly Wiggly in the coming months. I mean, to be able to be a 8-year-old boy and to be witness to seeing all of these things growing in this business around you and learning it from the inside out, I mean, that is just an absolutely invaluable experience. So he's very, very lucky to have a mom this good. I think you're right, Mark, to call her a hero earlier, for sure.
I amended that to heroine.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, that word's kind of got a different meaning in certain contexts, but yes.
I'm a traditionalist. She's a heroine.
Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes, let me get up.
Talk about a story you can't relate to at all, huh?
I just don't understand it. Yeah, the money thing involved in it. You're involving children to pay them and money. And
did you ever do anything as a kid? Did you ever have a newspaper route or a lemonade stand or anything like that, Sarah?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
No, I never did.
No.
But you know what? My Speak Up article was so good that Sheila found it in the newspaper.
Sheila?
And Sheila is one of our friends. And then she showed it to Ralph. And then he liked it so much, he shared it with the whole church volunteer. So he...
What's the article about? Or were you complaining about not enough speeding cameras or something like that?
Is this at speakup.org?
The Speak Up on the journal, they have several people that you could submit comments, like letters, emails.
This is a letter to the newspaper?
Right.
Okay.
And there's three or four opinions, and they people like reading those things.
And what was your topic about? Was it about speeding cameras, red light cameras? And those are your two favorites, right?
The reason that they liked it was that, you know, they were scapegoating the panhandlers, standing in the middle. I mean, they're still standing in the middle. Nobody's messing with them because of our articles. It's ridiculous.
So you're defending the panhandlers.
Well, they panhandle, stand in the median. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's small, like 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
And they panhandle, and they were saying that these people are the pedestrian fatalities. And my article said that, you know, if you were to dig up all of the people that are 97 people killed in New Mexico, probably none of them, actually zero, will be the panhandlers standing in the median.
I mean, that would seem to make sense to me that if you're standing on the median or on the side of the road, that your likelihood of getting hit by a car would probably increase somewhat compared to the average pedestrian.
Right, that's correct. So but
you're saying zero? You think absolutely zero panhandlers have been killed by cars?
Right, but
why?
Whose fault is that?
Why? Why do you think that?
In the middle, or what the cars have,
Sarah,
to run over the median and hit one? That whose fault is that?
Wait. Are you saying that they're on the median and that protects them? That being on the median is somehow protecting them from being hit by a car because they have to run up on it?
Okay.
That was a question.
Okay, to get rid of all the panhandlers, okay, all of them near the street. You think you will have less fatalities?
Yes.
Next year? It'll be still the same 97 pedestrian fatalities of New Mexico.
I doubt it. I think that the panhandlers, Sarah, the panhandlers probably are getting hit less often in the median than when they are traveling to the median. I don't know about you, but I have not in the recent past. In the last year, I have not run across a 6-lane highway. But I do see people often when in a car that are out in the middle of a 6-lane highway asking for handouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're in the middle of a 6-lane highway, your chances of getting hit are higher. Now, you may consider them not to be a panhandler at that moment because they're not actually actively panhandling, that they're only a panhandler once they've stepped onto the median and then began asking for money. And I suppose that there's some, you know, bizarre, you know, claim there, but I guess I would ask you this question. Of these, did you say it was 97 people? If these 97 people, of these 97 people, how many of them do you think panhandled in the last 24 hours before they were hit?
No, but I just think it's they're scapegoating the hit and run drivers, the speeders, the red light violators. They are the one that's got the lethal weapon, the 2-ton trucks. Okay, their careless behavior is one that's killing everybody.
I'm not claiming that's not true. You certainly shouldn't be striking people with a motor
vehicle. I'm going to claim that's not true.
What I'm told in martial arts is don't be where the strike lands. So if you want to avoid being hit by a car, don't stand in the street. Don't run across the street.
Right, especially I think that's what you're dealing with drunks.
With dark clothes. Well, inebriated.
I bet you at least half of the 97 people that get killed in, is it just Albuquerque, the 97, or is that statewide, Sarah?
That's the whole state of New Mexico.
I bet half of those people are drunk at the time they get killed. They probably stumble into the road and then get hit by a car that couldn't possibly put on their brakes fast enough to avoid it.
Why is that? Because they're speeding. That's why. We have all the people. Yeah, okay, they have 308,000 people. They got their license reinstated, and they have three or more speeding tickets. They tore up, never went to court, never paid, and they got it
good,
all back.
Good. They shouldn't pay for that crap because it's just ridiculous. It's just extraction of wealth. Sarah, what I want to know is, have you ever actually done some panhandling?
Well, of course.
Oh, okay.
I've been homeless for 10 years.
I'm actually surprised by that because, I mean, it does require you to go out there and do something. And normally you're sort of known for staying home and calling talk radio stations and collecting the welfare check. So I'm actually surprised. How'd it go for you? I mean, did you do pretty good out there?
Well, it's I have compassion. That's why I stuck up for the panhandlers. They're just being pissed.
But how did you do? Like, what was a good? What was the day's take? Like, you were doing this, what, 10, 15, 20 years ago or 5 years ago? When were you doing this?
Well, I didn't do too well, you know, because I was too clean. I was always too clean. Yep. I didn't look pitiful enough, so I didn't really look.
You really
well.
Got to spruce it up if you want to get the money. Like, you know, forget the shower. Maybe throw on some makeup to look extra dirty. Mm-hmm. You know, the hair needs to be unwashed, that kind of thing. Sarah, I thought of something while we were talking, and I just looked it up real quick. There were 893 deaths last year. That's 2020. Excuse me, the last recorded year. 2021, there were 893 deaths on railroads. Now, these things travel quickly. We don't call it speeding because, you don't have that same kind of thought process. But if of these 893 people who died last year, 2021, how many of them was it their fault?
Okay, is there these people that ignore the crossing signs when they tell you to stop behind a certain point? You have to.
It's like, people who were killed by a train.
Right. So they were negligent. They tell you to like leave about a foot. Somebody rear ends you. You don't want to be pushed into the direct. They ignore all this.
Most of them are pedestrians.
Cross anyway.
Most of them were people not in a car.
Okay.
So what was your question for Sarah again?
My question is, how many of them was it their fault? Because to me, it's as tragic as it may be, and by the way, a large amount of these are suicides.
Mm.
You get hit by a train. You jump. You stand in the middle of a track, and you are dead. Yeah. Like, there's not a, you go from living to dead very, very quickly.
It's basically a force of nature. I mean, it's unstoppable.
Right. It's unstoppable. So, you know, to me, there's a high amount of similarity between standing in railroad tracks and running across a road, especially while inebriated, right? Like, there are things traveling quickly, and, they may be going faster than the posted limit, but even if they're not, you can't always see what's coming across. Sarah doesn't do a lot of driving, so she doesn't know what it's like to have.
I don't do any driving. I just run for my life every day, ducking and dodging cars every day.
And you've never been killed by a train.
No, she hasn't, yeah.
Sarah, you've never been killed by a train either. You've never been hit by
a
train.
I'm not stupid enough.
Because you have enough sense to stay out of the tracks.
Thanks for the call, Sarah.
Right? Like, you know, very few trains jump the tracks and hit somebody 6 feet to the side. Right? Like, if you're getting hit by a car, and I'm not saying, I mean, like, I will agree with the assessment that a much larger percentage of people who are killed by cars, the pedestrians killed by cars, it's their fault than pedestrians killed by trains. But there's something to note here that almost 900 people last year were killed by trains, and we don't consider the trains to be at fault, right? Yep. Like, the trains, you said it yourself, a force of nature. That train's going, and it isn't going to stop, no matter how sanctimonious you feel on that track. I have the right to be on this track. Right, and that's good. Like, you're dead after, you know, like, it's gone. And, you know, like, whatever articles you post defending hobos, pee-drenched hobos, panhandling for money on the side of the road that happen to get hit by cars because they're inebriated on huffing gas and gold spray paint. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they deserve it. I haven't said anybody deserved it, but I want to know your answer to the people who get killed by trains. Is it their fault?
Yeah, I don't think she had a good answer on that one.
Anyone who might have any input on that, I'm still interested in the thought process on it. Because to me, you know, you jump into the great white tank. I know you can't have great whites in a tank, but, you know, you jump into the Gulf of Mexico covered in chum. You stand in a, you know, train track. You do some drugs and you run across the road. Like, bad things happen to these people. And it's a probable, almost certain future of what's going to happen. I'm not saying you deserve it. I'm saying I can predict the future.
We are out of time for tonight. Mark probably will be joining us at some point next week. I think you're actually going to be on with Jay Noon on Tuesday, I believe, this coming week.
Where are you going to be?
Well, I'll be here, but Jay can't be in on Thursday, so he has to come in on a different day. So you get to do a show with Jay coming up here, I think, next week. More, of course, tomorrow night. I think nobody will be back tomorrow. He'd been out for a little while. His mom was very ill, so that, I think, went well. She's back and got out of the hospital, so he's back with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Online, between now and then, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget our chat server at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.